listening to The Burn. Gaming stuff, blazing fast.
Welcome to a new episode of The Burn, a podcast about gaming done blazing fast. I'm Aviv Manoach.
And I am Omer Kaplan. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Living the dream. How are you?
Pretty much the same, actually. Like, it's been a good week for me.
Oh, nice. So last time we talked, you were on vacation.
What? Oh, it was holidays and stuff?
I think so, yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, he had the month of Israeli holidays. So this week was the first full work week back. And I kind of liked getting back to work. The holidays were really fragmented, and it was like you're not really in full scale vacation. You have like 2 days off, 2 days working, 2 days off and stuff. So I need my routines.
Yeah, that's weird. That's for sure.
And then next week, I'm getting back to my second year of master's degree, second and final. So that will be a thing as well. And I'm pretty excited about that, too. Despite the fact that the first year was a hit and miss sometimes, but overall the experience was good. I like having the structure for creating those games and talking about them and learning them.
Oh, nice. So did you get sucked into New World?
No. I'm out of the MMO game. I'm out.
Okay, so let me tell you a story about New World, and then we can. Oh no, you need to do the opening. So after the opening, let me tell you about the story about New World and how, because of New World, I discovered my probably game of the year. But yeah, you did the opening first.
Great. That's a very good story. Cool. So we are The Burn, a podcast about gaming done blazing fast. We, in each episode, talk about a game that we liked or disliked or really, really liked, as the case today. And we also discuss current news. Today I tried to bring in more industry stuff that are better suited to our recording schedule. Like when we talk about releases or things like that, it's not really fitting to releasing every 2 weeks, but industry stuff is interesting. So yeah, you can listen to all the episode in theburn.live and find the links to subscribe with your favorite listening app. If you happen to find this podcast due to Yuda recommending it while visiting EGX, welcome.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, I hope Yuda have a great time there. And yeah, if you're listening to this is your first episode, you are in for a treat because we're gonna talk about an amazing game today.
Indeed. So tell me how from New World you got into Celesta Crown of the Magister.
So I was in a market for a new game, and then I, you know, just started kind of like, you know, just reading about games, looking at YouTube videos, trying to see what, you know, what tickles my gaming senses. And so I said, okay, well, you know, I've seen some of the New World stuff. I've given into the hype. I'm going to play New World. So I bought it. I installed it. I got into the game, created my character, hit play, and then I got in a queue, like everybody else. I waited for 10 minutes, and then I got an error message that said something like, there's an error loading your spawn point. I was like, okay. I tried again, waiting for 10 minutes. Same error message. I was like, okay, how about I pick a new server? Picked a new server, created the same character. Different queue, it was like 5 minutes, same error message. I was like, okay, maybe it's like bad timing. Let me try some other time. Went to play something else, probably League or something. came back in the evening, tried with the first character, same error message. To the second character, same error message. Google some error, like, try to figure out what the error message means. It means the game is crude. So I was like, okay, do I really want to, you know, try to debug this new game, or I'll just refund it, get a real game, and then when this game is ready, I'll just come back to it and then grind or do whatever. So that's what I did. I refunded New World, and for the same amount of money, I always heard about Celesta being a good game. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm in the mood for like a CRPG. I mean, I'm not going to buy into Wrath of the Righteous yet, and this looks like a decent game. So I installed it, and oh my god, if nothing else happens in the gaming industry and my computer, this is my game of the year. This game is so good. So
let me, before you dive into it, let me tell you my story with Celesta Crown of the Magister. I think 3 weeks ago, we recorded an episode of the Game Burning podcast, the Hebrew podcast. And a friend of mine for work recorded with us, and he's a tabletop role player like me and you, the co-host, and we also had a run of Yoram on that episode, so a very big tabletop episode, and he that was like in the middle of us talking about Pathfinder. A week before that, we talked about both Wrath of the Righteous and Kingmaker, and so this was a very heavy CRPG month in general, and I heard about Celesta because Co Carnage played it, and Co Carnage is the streamer / YouTuber I often watch because he plays pretty much every new game that comes out, and he finishes most of them. So if I want to watch a game instead of playing it, I will usually watch Co. But I haven't seen Celesta really, and I didn't know anything about it. And so my friend from work, Omri, came to the show, and he sort of like, let me tell you about a real CRPG, not that Pathfinder stuff. And he tells us about how Celesta is an authentic, as you wrote in the show notes, authentic Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition experience. And I didn't have a clue that there was an actual Dungeons and Dragons video games out there. And the funny thing is that if you go to the Celesta Steam page, they write like in bold letters, "We have permission from Wizard of the Coast to use those rules."
Probably. Yeah, they're using some, it's kind of weird, they're using some of like, I don't know if it's not open source, but some licensing that give them the mechanics, a lot of the spells, but not all the classes or something.
It's called Open Game License. It's the same license that the previous editions of Dungeons & Dragons were released from 3 and up, and it's the reason that Pathfinder exists. The reason you don't get everything is because there is a separation between what is part of the Open Game license and what is proprietary information. So all of the Forgotten Realms settings and all things that ties to it, as well as some monsters. For example, did you know that Mind Flayers and Beholders
are
trademarked monsters that no one else use unless you use them and like change their name?
I knew that because at some point I think I wanted something for like an RPG, and so like I was looking for like, you know, goblins and orcs and like something else. I like canon in like, you know, myths and legends, so you can probably use them, but like Mind Flayers and Beholders are like proprietary adaptation.
So as far as I heard, so the Celesta devs started the game, like originally they didn't ask anyone, they just started developing it, and they did use the Forgotten Realms settings, and then they reached a point where it needs to, I think it was in early access, and they need to like publish it online, And then they talked to Wizard, and Wizards were like, no, you can't use that. You can't use the rules. So the Celeste devs had to change everything that has to do with the settings of the game.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because they say, so I read the dev journal thing, and they say they don't even have access to some of the classes and class features. So what they did is they let the community design, like, what a barbarian means and what, like, a druid means, like, using the rule set. But you can't, like,
yeah,
I guess the barbarian tribes and, like, druid. Like,
now that I think about it, what they don't have access to is all of the archetypes, they are called. They, in 5th edition, you get all the classes, but each class has, like, a subclass, a specialization. Yeah. So the SRD is the system reference document, is the open game rules, and that only like has two archetypes per class or something like that. So they needed to write, if they wanted more options, they needed to write those. And for example, for the clerics, obviously they had to create their own gods and everything. So
yeah. Just fine. I mean, the spells are roughly the same spells. So
yeah. So the spells are all part of the SLB.
Yeah. So the cool. I mean, what makes this game like the cut above the rest, from my perspective, is like I wrote in the show notes how authentic to the tabletop experience is. So what they did is they took all the, you know, so. In Dungeons & Dragons, you have your like fighting mechanics and your spells and like all these big things you're used to seeing in CRPGs. But they also went and gave a lot of thought into what happens like outside the combat setting. So, for example, you know, like a wizard can create food, which is like, you know, they have this whole like rations. I mean, you can change it in game settings, but it's very like not super easy to manage. Like the whole ration mechanic, or lighting plays a very big role in the game. So stuff happens that in dim light or full light or like vision, like darkness. So there's a lot of like those intricacies, and those bring a lot of like really interesting spells into play that I almost like forgot that like they exist. I think the last time I saw these kind of like spells and like mechanics come into play was in like Neverwinter Nights, I think. So you can create food and like the light magic, like you can actually see the impact of that. Not even in a combat setting, just as you research something, or spells like jump or levitate, or like things that, you know, you can get really creative with. They have a lot of emphasis on that, like in the game. So that's like, that brings like really, I don't know, really authentic role playing thing. Like, so that's, you know, that's basically what I like. So I always look for like the authentic role. I always like almost never min max characters. I always like role play them and give them character and like write their bios and all the stuff. So like that game is like, specifically for me, because I can kind of like decide on, you know, a certain like character and really like put that character into their spells or how they behave or their traits, even though it may not be the best decision. So for example, I don't know, my wizard, she's like an academic wizard, so she have the comprehend languages spell, which, you know, on the surface not super useful in a combat scenario. But you can get like we have a lot of like opportunities to use it, which makes the game really cool. You can like read certain letters or look at like inscriptions on walls and like decipher them, and all.
It's like taking Pet Pal in Divinity Original Sin,
yes,
and
exactly.
Being able to talk to all the animals.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly like that. So imagine that, but like in a lot of different aspects of the game. So for example, you know, one spell I really like is Featherfall. Like when you fall, it just makes you like fall like very lightly. So in the game, there's a lot of like scenarios where, you know, you have the jump mechanic and like you have to roll dice with your athletics and all this stuff. So when a character jump, if they don't make it and they fall, instead of sustaining damage, you can like cast that as a your mage like cast that as a reaction, then they kind of like fall nicely. So it's just a nice touch to characters, even though it's not very min maxy, it's super authentic, which is awesome. And then adding to the feeling of the game being authentic is that you're more exposed to dice rolls. So they had a really cool mechanic where they have all the dice, and when combat starts, for example, you actually see like tons of like dice flying around with like initiative rolls, and you really get the sense of like a true like RPG experience, like tabletop experience on a computer, which is, you know, I haven't seen that in a really long time, and it really makes the combat super. Even it just improves on the turn-based experience in a sense that you see the dice rolls, you see the saving throws, you see, you know, if you roll for like acid damage and you have to roll like four dice, like they'll roll on the screen. So it's really nice. And the game also helps you with like really nice prompts that gives like another layer of like tabletop experience. So for example, someone casts a spell, and then like you get a prompt that says, hey, the enemy wizard is casting a spell. Would you like to try to counterspell it using like one of your characters? I'm like, hell yeah, I want to do it. And then like the dice roll, and it's almost like you're having a conversation with a DM. I don't know. It's super, super like everything about the game mechanics is super awesome. Other than that, the environment is like, you know, high fantasy as you kind of like expect, like I think like super like that, like, you know, if you said to me that it's like Forgotten Realms setting, I would totally believe that.
It's a Dungeons and Dragons game.
Exactly. It's like you have all the tropes and all the, you know, all it, the your archetypes of like, you know, your cultist, your bandit.
Your bandit. Yes, but you can't complain about that because that's literally the trope maker.
I love it.
I
would never complain about it. That's awesome. That's exactly what you need.
Yes, it's the trope maker. You can't like take a Dungeons and Dragons game and say, oh, it's not unique. Yes, no, I'm not saying that about you. It's the thing that all other fantasy role-playing games are made from. Literally.
Yes. And to take that to the extreme, my party is literally the most cliche. So you can create right off the bat. You know, you don't have to collect a companion. There's nothing like that. Right off the bat, you can create four characters this is your party.
No, it's not you can. You must. There is no other way to play the game.
You can select like pre-made characters that have their own bio.
It's not the same thing.
Yeah. So
you create your party at character creation.
So my party is like the most cliche party you've ever seen. You got your mercenary fighter who have a military background and, you know, all that stuff. You got your dwarven paladin. You got your your cleric. And then you got your academic wizard that, you know, she's all about like reading books and stuff. So like I leaned into that cliche like all the way. I don't know. It's just like super awesome. Like if I have to give like two criticism, it's not really, I mean, really like cautious because it's really not that of a criticism about the game, is that from a design perspective, like the way the character look, I mean, I think it was made with like Unreal Engine or something, but all the beards look weird and like the faces are kind of like way off, but you don't even see them up close too much, so it's like whatever. And it's not, I mean, if you get past that, it's fine. And then, I mean, I read people, some people complain about the story and the voice acting. And I mean, to me, I really like it. So the voice acting is nothing like Divinity. It's low budget. It's nothing like Pathfinder. It's almost fully voiced over.
It doesn't
pretend to be something that it's not. It's your, you know, casual people who try to do their best voice acting, and it's fine. Like, you get past that in like 2 seconds. And the story is like classic D&D story. Like, it's really straightforward. I haven't seen something that I was surprised by yet. But I mean, this is what you do. You play Dungeons and Dragons in the most D&D way that there is. And if you like that, that's the game for you.
The engine is Unity. It's not. It's not
that's Unity.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's an indie game. It's a small group. Yes, when you take the top down view of the maps, the game looks good, but they seems to be using the same character models in the cutscenes as well, and then the cutscenes look weird. So that's part of it, and yeah, the voice acting is not great. I don't really like the interface as well, but overall,
I've heard people talk about the interface. Let me tell you that. Yes, the interface looks really rough and very like not modern, and like, you know, it's like a D&D game, but the interface lacks the intricate design of like a fantasy game. I agree, but when you start, and I had the same concern like looking at like videos like before getting the game. When you start playing the game, you will see that this is the most efficient and great interface for a fantasy, like a CRPG game. You wouldn't want to use any other interface after you play it. I'm telling you.
But like, I'm not talking about the usability. I don't care about that. I'm talking about the
design. I'm telling you, like, it's great. Like, I don't know. I had the same concerns. I don't know how I can get used to like an other interface. Like, it's big buttons. It's like really understandable. I get to see all the options when I can make them. I don't know. It's really good. And it's nice. I cannot get enough of this game, and I fear the moment where I'm gonna finish it and want to have more game to play. And then I have to wait for the DLC or roll a new party or something. I don't know. It's just good. Like, I've been using things that I like spells and tactics I didn't use in other CRPGs just because everything feels like more accessible. So I used like turn undead and like, I don't know. It's just great. I have like tons of stories, like in-game stories, but it's really nice. I think from a difficulty perspective, that's maybe a good point to talk about. From a difficulty perspective, I chose they call it like authentic or original experience, where it's full-on D&D experiences. If people die, they die and you have to revive them. So, I mean, I have a cleric and I can revive people now, but they have like death rolls, and you know, you're always like on the verge of, you know, protect your spellcasters. The AI is fairly good, so they know, you know, enemies with intelligence, they know how to target like your backline, and you know, enemies like skeletons and stuff, they just like rush you. And you really have to pick your fight. Some situations you're better off, you know, talking through or use your, you know, your intimidation skills or like negotiation skills. So this is the authentic experience, but you can tone it down to super casual. Don't use food, long rest, short rest, you regenerate spells. So there's a lot of that thing going on. I don't know. I'm usually an easy mode person, and the authentic experience is very satisfying without being like too punishing, because like you see the dice rolls. So you're all about like, oh, that's a crit, that's a this. And like, if you have to play the battle again, it's fine because it's fun and you get to play like different tactics. So, it's cool. Like, everything about this game is awesome. And there's so much I haven't explored yet, even from a character perspective. I didn't have a rogue. I didn't try like other players, the stuff. So, rangers. So there's a lot to do, and it's awesome. And this is probably my game of the year because it's so good. Unless Far Cry 6 is like amazingly amazing.
No, it's not. It's another Far Cry game. They literally didn't change anything.
Okay, well that's fine, because I liked 4. I liked 5. And I would probably like 6,
they are a fine game, but they are not game of the year material.
No. This game has everything going for it. I don't have anything bad to say about this game. It's really good.
You know, why are you sorry about that? I also see there is a dungeon maker in the game, so you can create new things.
I tried it once and I realized I'm not the type of person who would make dungeons, but yes, I mean, I think it's something they develop. I'm slightly concerned that they will make it their like you know, they're a small team anyway, and they're going to dedicate resources to do it. So I know why they're doing it, but I want them to make like another adventure because I'm going to finish that and I would need another one. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
but yes, you can. Yeah, if you're that type of person, you can build your own adventure and have people play it, and you have like tons of assets to work with. And
good. So news.
Okay, news. Yes. Anything else interesting I can tell you about this game?
No, because we need time for news.
Okay. So go and play. That's what I can take.
Okay. Say. News. Big things happening this week. Twitch got hacked.
That's fine. Nobody's immune to hacks. That's fine.
No, but that is not a little server hack or whatever where you send an email of please reset your password or whatever. This was their entire source code. Project files, project of unreleased product like an Amazon Steam competitor, all the financial information for every Twitch partner and affiliate going back for years. Basically, I don't know, it's like they went into the White House and stole the president's documents.
Yes. I'm telling you, I was looking at all these things and it made me say, oh my God, I'm in the wrong profession. I should be a streamer. That, you know.
Well, I don't know if that's true. You need to be, to work.
No, I'm just kidding. It looks nice though. The numbers looks nice.
You need to work very hard to be a streamer that makes millions. And that technically, that it's just revenue, not direct. Like, it doesn't account for the actual money goes into the pockets
of sure. There's taxes, there's sponsorships, there's whatever. But I mean, yeah.
No, it's also
yeah, nice. like any other organization, the people at the top make a lot of money, and it's I mean, I'm just glad that those people who work very hard and playing video games all day and being like entertaining all day get to cash in at the end, you know. That's good.
Some of them. I don't know if I don't know if it's good or bad, right? I work in this industry. I celebrate helping small channels earn money, and not like the big ones will always be big. So I don't really care about them. Anyway, that was a major thing, and obviously. It seems that already the hack has been used for more hacks, because today someone hacked the game repository, the game category system at Twitch, and replaced the images of all the games for to the face of Jeff Bezos. So, accessing Twitch's source code means that people can uncover vulnerabilities in their system, which means more hacks are coming. The measure that Twitch has enacted so far was resetting the stream keys for every channel on their system, meaning that if you are using a Steam key to stream, you need to grab a new one. They didn't like tell people to change password or anything, because apparently the password what the leak contained was only the encrypted part of the password.
That's usually how it goes.
So no personal information was leaked. No, well, beside like channel names, but channel names is not private information. It's public. So no emails, no credit in financial. Well, financial information did leak. No payment information was leaked. Mainly because Twitch itself doesn't do the payment and credit charges and everything. They use a company called Exolia that does that. So hacking Twitch doesn't really help you get the the credit card and everything. But yeah, a very, very big deal. I assume people on Twitch's side have a few weeks of sleepless nights ahead of them while they try to patch the system. And we'll see what will be done with that. Someone took the financial data and created a website that lists all of it, but it was taken down. I wanted to bring a link to the show notes, but apparently it was taken down. So Amazon's legal team are already chasing down violators.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a big deal for sure, and I think it was as a consumer, it was interesting to see all this financial information. Do I need it to see that? Probably not. Do I care?
Also, people made more of a big deal from that financial information than it is. If you really want to, you can estimate most of it pretty accurately.
Looking at subs and stuff.
Like the people at the top are not. Besides, like the only name at the top of that list that drove conversation was Critical Role, and that's only because it's not even about the money. It's because Critical Role has appearance and reputation of like a homely group that plays for fun and other kind of bullshit, and
it's all about the money for sure.
No,
it's a business.
It's not all about the money, of course, but their fan doesn't realize that they are a business and they are a projection company and they have people they pay and all sorts of those things. Like there is an Amazon series that's going live about Critical Role and all sorts of those things. So that was the only really interesting conversation around this. The rest of the financial information, I think anyone that's been in the industry for a bit can estimate. There is a very close correlation between the views you're getting, the subs you're getting, the sponsorship you're getting. So even if we won't be able to mark the exact million you're making, the general ballpark is not that far-fetched. So I think the more interesting and B, problematic part of it is the source code. People will be interested to see what's under the hood, and other people will be interested to find all the vulnerabilities, as we saw already. Okay, I will end here. I will remove the other news item because we don't have time.
It was interesting to read though. I read it before the show. It was
okay.
Maybe we'll talk about it next time. It's gonna be still relevant when we talk about it.
Yes. So that's all we have on the show today. Thank you for listening. You can find us online on Twitter. I'm at Isel and Omer is at Omer Kaplan. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, comment, and leave your reviews on your preferred listening app. You can find all of it at theburn.live. And our the opening theme was created by Ann Delco with vocals by Fishy Twitch, both on Twitter as well. Thank you for listening. Omer, thank you for joining me for another episode.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course. And yeah, I don't know what we're going to talk about in the next episode, but we'll see.
I have two more really good games in the pipeline.
Okay, very good. So more games from Omer until I play Kena Bridge of Spirits. And
we'll talk about it. Yes, please play it. It looks amazing.
So until next time, bye-bye.
Yeah.